World History, Chapter 33, Section 3, Wars in Korea and Vietnam. Setting the stage. When World War II ended, Korea became a divided nation. North of the 38th parallel, a line that crosses Korea at 8 degrees north latitude, Japanese troops surrendered to Soviet forces. South of this line, the Japanese surrendered to American troops. As in Germany, two nations developed. One was the Communist Industrial North, whose government had been set up by the Soviets. The other was the non-communist rural South, supported by the Western powers. War in Korea. By 1949, both the United States and Soviet Union had withdrawn most of their troops from Korea. The Soviets gambled that the United States would not defend South Korea, so they supplied North Korea with tanks, airplanes, and money in an attempt to take over the peninsula. Standoff at the 38th parallel. On June 25, 1950, North Koreans swept across the 38th parallel in a surprise attack on South Korea. Within days, North Korean troops had penetrated deep into the South. President Truman was convinced that the North Korean aggressors were repeating what Hitler, Mussolini, and the Japanese had done in the 1930s. Truman's policy of containment was being put to the test, and Truman resolved to help South Korea resist communism. South Korea also asked the United Nations to intervene. When the matter came to a vote in the Security Council, the Soviets were absent. They had refused to take part in the council to protest admission of nationalist China, Taiwan, rather than communist China into the UN. As a result, the Soviet Union could not veto the UN's plan to send an international force to Korea to stop the invasion. A total of 15 nations, including the United States and Britain, participated under the command of General Douglas MacArthur. Meanwhile, the North Koreans continued to advance. By September 1950, they controlled the entire Korean peninsula except for a tiny area around Pusan in the far southeast corner. That month, however, MacArthur launched a surprise attack. Troops moving north from Pusan met with forces that had made an amphibious landing at Incheon. Caught in this pincer action, about half the North Koreans surrendered. The rest retreated. The fighting continues. The UN troops pursued the retreating North Koreans across the 38th parallel into North Korea. They pushed them almost to the Yalu River at the Chinese border. The UN forces were mostly from the United States. The Chinese felt threatened by these troops and by American fleet off their coast. In October 1950, they sent 300,000 troops into North Korea. The Chinese greatly outnumbered the UN forces. By January 1951, they had pushed UN and South Korean troops out of North Korea. The Chinese then moved into South Korea and captured the capital of Seoul. "We face an entirely new war," declared MacArthur. He called for a nuclear attack against China. Truman viewed MacArthur's proposals as reckless. "We are trying to prevent a world war, not start one," he said. MacArthur tried to go over the president's head by taking his case to Congress and the press. In response, Truman removed him. Over the next 2 years, UN forces fought to drive the Chinese and North Koreans back. By 1952, UN troops had gained control of South Korea. Finally, in July 1953, the UN forces and North Korea signed a ceasefire agreement. The border between the two Koreas was set near the 38th parallel, almost where it had been before the war. In the meantime, 4 million soldiers and civilians had died. Aftermath of the war. After the war, Korea remained divided. The demilitarized zone, which still exists, separates the two countries. In North Korea, the communist dictator Kim Il-sung established collective farms, developed heavy industry, and built up the military. At Kim's death in 1994, his son, Kim Jong-il, took power. Under his rule, communist North Korea developed nuclear weapons, but had serious economic problems. On the other hand, South Korea prospered, thanks partly to massive aid from the United States and other countries. In the 1960s, South Korea concentrated on developing its industry and expanding foreign trade. A succession of dictatorships ruled the rapidly developing country. With the 1987 adoption of the Democratic Constitution, however, South Korea established free elections. During the 1980s and 1990s, South Korea had one of the highest economic growth rates in the world. Political differences have kept the two Koreans apart, despite periodic discussions of reuniting the country. North Korea's possession of nuclear weapons is a major obstacle. The United States still keeps troops in South Korea. War breaks out in Vietnam. Much like its involvement in the Korean War, the involvement of the United States in Vietnam stemmed from its Cold War containment policy. After World War II, stopping the spread of communism was the principal goal of U.S. foreign policy. The road to war. In the early 1900s, France controlled most of the resource-rich Southeast Asia, French Indochina, including what is now Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. But nationalist independence movements had begun to develop. A young Vietnamese nationalist, Ho Chi Minh, turned to the communists for help in his struggle. During the 1930s, Ho's Indochinese Communist Party led revolts and strikes against the French. The French responded by jailing Vietnamese protesters. They also sentenced Ho to death. He fled into exile but returned to Vietnam in 1941, a year after the Japanese seized control of the country during World War II. Ho and other nationalists founded the Viet Minh Independence League. The Japanese were forced out of Vietnam after their defeat in 1945. Ho Chi Minh believed that independence would follow, but France intended to regain its colony. The fighting begins. Vietnamese nationalists and communists joined to fight the French armies. The French held most major cities, but the Viet Minh had widespread support in the countryside. Viet Minh used hit-and-run tactics to confine the French to the cities. In France, the people began to doubt that their colonies were worth the lives and money that the struggle cost. In 1954, the French suffered a major military defeat at Dien Bien Phu. They surrendered to Ho. The United States had supported France in Vietnam. With the defeat of the French, the United States saw a rising threat to the rest of Asia. President Eisenhower described this threat in terms of the domino theory. The Southeast Asian nations were like a row of dominoes, he said. The fall of one to communism would lead to the fall of its neighbors. This theory became a major justification for U.S. foreign policy during the Cold War era. Vietnam, a divided country. After France's defeat and an international peace conference met in Geneva to discuss the future of Indochina, based on these talks, Vietnam was divided at 17th degree north latitude. North of that line, Ho Chi Minh's communist forces governed. To the south, the United States and France set up an anti-communist government under the leadership of Ngo Dinh Diem. Diem ruled the south as a dictator. Opposition to his government grew. Communist guerrillas, called Viet Cong, began to gain strength in the south. While some of the Viet Cong were trained soldiers from North Vietnam, most were South Vietnamese who hated Diem. Gradually, the Viet Cong won control of large areas of the countryside. In 1963, a group of South Vietnamese generals had Diem assassinated, but the new leaders were no more popular than he had been. It appeared that a communist takeover by the communist Viet Cong backed by North Vietnam, was inevitable. The United States gets involved. Faced with the possibility of a communist victory, the United States decided to escalate or increase its involvement. Some U.S. troops had been serving as advisors to the South Vietnamese since the late 1950s, but their numbers steadily grew, as did the number of planes and other military equipment to South Vietnam. U.S. troops enter the fight. In August 1964, U.S. President Lyndon Johnson told Congress that North Vietnamese patrol boats had attacked two U.S. destroyers in the Gulf of Tonkin. As a result, Congress authorized the president to send U.S. troops to fight in Vietnam. By late 1965, more than 185,000 U.S. soldiers were in combat on Vietnamese soil. U.S. planes had also begun to bomb North Vietnam. By 1968, more than 500,000 U.S. soldiers were in combat there. The United States had the best-equipped, most advanced army in the world, yet it faced two major difficulties. First, U.S. soldiers were fighting a guerrilla war in unfamiliar jungle terrain. Second, the South Vietnamese government that they were defending was becoming more unpopular. At the same time, support for the Viet Cong grew with the help and supplies from Ho Chi Minh, the Soviet Union, and China. Unable to win a decisive victory on the ground, the United States turned to air power. U.S. forces bombed millions of acres of farmland and forest in an attempt to destroy enemy hideouts. This bombing strengthened peasants' opposition to the South Vietnamese government. The United States withdraws. During the late 1960s, the war grew increasingly unpopular in the United States. Dissatisfied young people began to protest the tremendous loss of life in a conflict on the other side of the world. Bowing to intense public pressure, President Richard Nixon began withdrawing troops from Vietnam in 1969. Nixon had a plan called Vietnamization. It allowed for U.S. troops to gradually pull out while the South Vietnamese increased their combat role. To pursue Vietnamization while preserving the South Vietnamese government, Nixon authorized a massive bombing campaign against North Vietnamese bases and supply routes. He also authorized bombings in nearby Laos and Cambodia to destroy Viet Cong hiding places. In response to protests and political pressures at home, Nixon kept withdrawing U.S. troops. The last left in 1973. 2 years later, the North Vietnamese overran South Vietnam. The war ended, but more than 1.5 million Vietnamese and 58,000 Americans lost their lives. Post-war Southeast Asia. War's end did not bring an immediate halt to bloodshed and chaos in Southeast Asia. Cambodia, also known as Kampuchea, was under siege by communist rebels. During the war, it had suffered U.S. bombing when it was used as a sanctuary by North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops. Cambodia in turmoil. In 1975, communist rebels known as the Khmer Rouge set up a brutal communist government under the leadership of Pol Pot. In a ruthless attempt to transform Cambodia into a communist society, Pol Pot's followers slaughtered 2 million people. This was almost one quarter of the nation's population. The Vietnamese invaded in 1978. They overthrew the Khmer Rouge and installed a less repressive government. But fighting continued. The Vietnamese withdrew in 1989. In 1993, under the supervision of UN peacekeepers, Cambodia adopted a democratic constitution and held free elections. Vietnam after the war. After 1975, the victorious North Vietnamese imposed tight controls over the South. Officials sent thousands of people to re-education camps for training in communist thought. They nationalized industries and strictly controlled businesses. They also renamed Saigon the South's former capital city, Ho Chi Minh City. Communist oppression caused 1.5 million people to flee Vietnam. Most escaped in dangerously overcrowded ships. More than 200,000 boat people died at sea. The survivors often spent months in refugee camps in Southeast Asia. About 70,000 eventually settled in the United States or Canada. Although communists still govern Vietnam, the country now welcomes foreign investment. The United States normalized relations with Vietnam in 1995. While the superpowers were struggling for advantage during the Korean and Vietnam Wars, they also were seeking influence in other parts of the world.